It's my privilege this morning to introduce the preacher of the word this morning for us, Reverend Cornelius Johnson. I've had the privilege of serving with Cornelius on the Committee for Chaplains and Military Personnel in the OPC for the last 3 years. We've only seen each other face-to-face. I think this is the third time, but we've spent many hours on the phone and on email serving together and gotten to know this brother. And he's going to be not only bringing us the word this morning, but leading us in Sunday school, the adult Sunday school. So if you want to learn more about what Reverend Johnson does full-time, he's a chaplain. He's come all the way down from 29 Palms, where he serves the Marines as a Navy chaplain. Join us for the adult Sunday school class. Well, brother, come and preach the word.
Thank you, Mike, for that. Pastor Schroeder, thank you for the opportunity to bring the word. Just before I get into the word, my name is, Mr. Jennings said, Cornelius Johnson. I am from the other side of the country on the East Coast. So my wife and son we went home for a while to visit family. That's where our family is. So they send their regards. So I'm here, a bachelor for a little while anyway, until they get back. I've been here for about in California for a year and a half. It's a different world from the East Coast. So, but it's been a good time. Living in 29 Palms, that's where we are. For the first 6 months, I didn't have any chapel responsibilities or obligations, and so I got on Google and I said I got to find a OPC church somewhat close to 29 Palms, and I found Redlands Sovereign Grace OPC. I was on like 1 hour 30 minutes away. I said, I think that's where we're going. So, but it's God's providentially work. It was a great group of people out there. There were between pastors at the time. Pastor Pontier was filling the pulpit, and I also had the opportunity to fill the pulpit as well there a few times until they called Pastor Peter Moker, who's there now. And so as soon as he got there, my supervisory chaplain came to me and says, hey, we're revamping our chapel program here. We want you to come and lead a service. And so that's what I've been doing for the last year. Pretty much every Sunday I've been at chapel at 11 o'clock leading the traditional service there on base. And so anyway, that's just a little bit about me. I'll talk more about the chaplain corps and what I do at Sunday school. But now we want to turn our attention to the Word of God. And we will read Matthew chapter 9. A sermon text will be taken from Matthew chapter 9. And we will read verses 35 through 38. And once you have it, please stand out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35, this is what the word of God says. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. May the Lord add a blessing to his holy word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now that we get the opportunity to hear your word. I pray now, Lord, that you open up our hearts and minds to receive the word, and that the word might be found to settle on good ground in our hearts, and that it might produce fruit, that we might be encouraged and challenged to work in your vineyard and to bring souls into your kingdom. And so I pray now, Lord, that you would remove all the distractions that surely the evil one seeks to assault us with, Lord, and help us to focus on your word. And may your people not see me, but may they see you. And may your word not return back void, but accomplish the purpose for which you have intended for it this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our military is a very big organization. I looked up some statistics where the annual budget for our military is $580 billion annually. That was for FY16. We have over 1.3 million active duty members and over 800,000 reservists. Over 2 million people in our country serve in the military. The goal of our military is simply, obviously, the defense of our nation and the ability to prosecute war against anyone that, against another state at any time. Indeed, it is a huge bureaucracy, a huge organization. And within that mission, there are many other missions that need to be taken place in our different armed services and so on. And as we look at this great organization of the military, we think of our church. I remember in seminary learning that the church is an organism. That means we're the body of Christ. But we're also an organization as well. That's why we're called the church militant. That last hymn we sang has a lot of military themes that we sing. And the church is militant. We are called to defend and to fight for the cause of Christ, to plunder Satan's kingdom. When we say the Lord's Prayer, the line that says, "Thy kingdom come," we're saying that God's kingdom would come and that Satan's kingdom would be plundered and that Satan's kingdom would be routed. And so this morning, as we look here in Matthew chapter 9 at these few verses, it's a familiar section of verses here, where Jesus is going about in the cities and villages teaching, preaching, healing every kind of sickness and diseases amongst the people. And as he was doing that, he was doing the work of the ministry, he noticed something. As he saw the multitudes. He saw that while he was extremely busy, while he was doing all these things, and surely our Lord himself became weary and tired. And at times it says in the scriptures that he wanted to get a moment's rest, to get to take a break. He told his disciples after they finished the missionary tour, "Come up here and let us rest a while." Anyone who does ministry work know how hard it can be, how difficult it can be, how challenging it can be. And our Lord was fully God and fully man. And so at times he wanted a break as well, but yet he was moved. He continued on. He was compelled to go on. And as we look here at these verses, Jesus teaches us about ministry. He teaches us what it means to be in the vineyard. And the first thing he teaches us is that we need to have compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Most commentators believe that this is the third missionary tour that Jesus took as he went through the villages, preaching and teaching. But he was moved with compassion. He saw these people. Yes, the Pharisees and Sadducees were the proclaimed leaders of Israel. But they were not leaders. Instead, they neglected the people. They put on them heavy burdens and bondaged their souls so that they could not have freedom. These were people that were sheep without a shepherd. These were people that were weary and scattered because they had no one to teach them, no one to guide them, no one to lead them. These were people that needed leaders, they needed to be guided. They needed the preaching of the word. And there was no one to do that. And so Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw how helpless these people were, how much these people needed good teaching, sound shepherds, sound leaders. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not care about their souls at all. Instead, they loaded them down with unnecessary burdens and neglected their souls. I wonder, are we moved with compassion? If we're going to effectively work in God's kingdom, we have to be compassionate people. And quite frankly, it's very hard today to be compassionate, especially with the institution of 24-hour cable television and local news and cable news, and we get different feeds on our phones telling us everything that's going on around the world. And as we see these things, so many times we don't bat an eye. As we see man's inhumanity to man, as we see a terrorist attack, or as we see things that are going on, we see it, and it doesn't even affect us or bother us. And what about the spirit and the climate of social media, of how harsh and how cruel people can be at times on social media and on the news and so on? There's not much compassion going on. And we as Christians can buy into that. We as Christians, because of our political views and so on, we can look at those people and say, look at those people and look at the way they act and the way they behave. We can show no compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. But do we realize that the reason why people behave the way they behave, the reason why they act the way they act, is because many times they don't have a shepherd, because they walk in darkness, because they are led about by Satan. They are children of darkness. Yes, they believe they know what's right. They believe they know how to live their life. They believe that they know what's going on. But the fact of the matter is that they're blind. They're children of wrath. And they don't know. They don't understand. They don't have wisdom and so on. And they're trying to make the best of what they have. And many times it's a disaster. We also need to have the compassion of Christ. You know, as a chaplain, my world is between the ages of 18 and 22-year-old Marines. These are Marines just coming out of boot camp. They went to Marine combat training, and now they are coming to learn their specialty, what they'll be doing in the Marine Corps. And these are smart Marines. You know, they are called the nerds of the Marine Corps because they're working in computers and electronics and data entry and all these other things, field radio operations and so on. So these are Marines that have a certain amount of intelligence. But the fact of the matter is that I counsel a lot of these Marines, and the work is difficult. And sometimes it's hard for me to have compassion, because there are times I come in my office and there's three or four of them waiting for me. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes I'm like, oh, kidding me, I need a break. I'm sure that Pastor Schroeder in this session will tell you that if people would call between 7:30 and 4 or 9 and 5, we can deal with that. But many times they call at dinner time. They call when it's night. They call early in the morning, whatever the case may be. But these Marines that come to me, many of these Marines have been on their own since 14, 15, 16 years old. Imagine that, kids, being that young and being on their own because their parents, many of them, are on drugs. Many of them abuse them. Many of them have been in the foster care system. They live with their grandparents and so on. They've been on their own for a long time. And they're trying to figure out life. And so they come into the Marine Corps looking for a change, looking to get away from those things that they had to experience and deal with. Indeed, some of their stories will break your heart as you hear what they've had to deal with and as they endure. And so they're coming, they're looking for guidance. And most of these Marines are not Christian. I mean, these are millennials today. They don't go to church. Many of them don't. I was talking to a Marine last week. He said he's been on his own since 13 years old. I said, tell me about your faith background. Tell me about your religious upbringing and so on. He says, I had none. He said, no one ever took me to church. No one ever taught me anything. He says, I've had to just figure out how to make it and live and eat and survive in this world. Indeed, that's the story of many of the people that I talk to. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They have no leaders. They don't know how to deal with conflicts and disappointments and trials and tribulations. It's amazing how many of them are suicidal when the smallest thing takes place. A couple weeks ago, I was dealing with a Marine who he just told his girlfriend, listen, I just need to take a break. You know, I'm not sure I want to be married to you. I'm 19 years old. You're dealing with a lot of issues. I'm dealing with a lot of issues. I'm not saying I don't want to marry you. I'm not saying that, but just give me some time to think about it. Well, this young lady came so distraught that she took her life, killed herself. And he showed me the text of the last text that she sent. He was so heartbroken, so distressed, so distraught that he said, well, I want to kill myself. So we had to put him on suicide watch. Indeed, this is very typical. Young people not knowing how to deal with conflicts and heartache and when things go wrong. As I was talking to this guy, I said, tell me about your, I spent hours with this Marine. Tell me about your life. I'm an atheist. I don't believe. He's got no worldview. It doesn't make sense to him. Everything is random. Everything is upside down. Things just happen. And so for him to take his life, it meant no big deal. He's doing a lot better now. But for a while, we were worried about him. And these are Marines that are sheep without any shepherd. They need guidance. They need leadership and so on. I've talked to drill sergeants who said they have to just teach these Marines at boot camp how to take showers and brush their teeth and so on. I remember talking to a young man. I said, okay, you're going home. Yes, he's excited to go home. All right, we got the plane ticket. We got the flight. All these things are great. So, all right, who's picking you up? So what time your family, what time is your parents picking you up? He's like, huh? Who's picking you up from the airport? Oh, I haven't thought about that. So we have to walk back, share these things with them. We have to instruct them and guide them and so on. And so it requires a lot of compassion. It requires me to be compassionate. Because, again, these are people with sheep without a shepherd. Are we compassionate? Are we compassionate to our loved ones who are not Christians? Are we compassionate to our coworkers? Are we compassionate to those who sometimes persecute us, afflict us, try us, torment us at times? Can we be compassionate? Christ calls upon us to be compassionate. Now, I believe that God has called me to 29 Palms just for that reason, because I went through a lot of those things as a child. I grew up with a dad who was like a drill sergeant towards me, who was very hard on me, very demanding, and so on. And I had to deal with that throughout my young adulthood and so on, just like these Marines are. And it gives me the opportunity to say, I understand what you're going through. I understand that those ages 18 to 22 are very difficult to deal with. And have you thought that maybe what the afflictions, the trials, the difficulties that you're going through, it is to prepare you to maybe help someone else? See, Christ has to make us compassionate because by nature we're pharisaical. We judge. We look down on people. We are hard on people. And God has to soften our heart, put us through trials and tribulations so that we will be compassionate. Compassion is a huge thing in the ministry. We can tell people the truth, but like Paul says, if we don't do it with love, like a tinkling cymbal. It's just a bunch of noise. Yes, what we said is right, but the way we said it, how hard we said it. People can't focus on that. All they can focus on is what is the tone, is the hardness which we say it. We don't speak it in a compassionate way. Christ was moved with compassion. We must be moved with compassion if we are going to be laborers in the vineyards. And Christ especially causes his ministers to go through trials and tribulations to afflict them. I remember in seminary, when we first got there, they said, expect difficult times in seminary. Before I came in, I said, boy, it must be great to just talk theology all day and read the Bible all the time. That must be wonderful. It's just, oh, how great. I went to a family camp before I came to seminary. I was sitting with the ministers, and they're all just sitting around talking. I said, oh, this must be great. Until I got to seminary and I saw how difficult it was, how challenging it was, how trying it was, how I felt like leaving many different times. I had to work full time and go to school full time and do all these other things and figure out Greek and Hebrew and all these things and try to catch up and understand. It was difficult. It was those 4 years of the most challenging times. I remember calling my old boss and said, hey, I was working as a computer technician in Maryland. I said, I'm thinking about coming back. Can I get my old job back? He said, sure, come on. But obviously I never did that, but that's how trying and difficult it is. But God has to teach us. He has to afflict us. He has to try us, so that we'll be prepared for ministry. So the compassion of Christ. But then the second thing we learn in Christ's organization is this, is the problem. The problem is this, is that the world is our vineyard. As he says there in verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the problem is the laborers are few. Indeed, the harvest truly is plentiful. This whole world is our vineyard. There are people who need to hear the gospel. Christ has a vast amount of people of his elect who need to be saved. But the problem is there are few laborers in the vineyard. We need more laborers. We need more workers. I'm sure Elder Mike, he was a staff officer at once. You know, as a chaplain, I have to go to the CO's meetings, and those things are boring. Normally, I just zone out, try to stay awake, nod my head, you know, make sure I don't fall asleep. But last week, I was listening for some reason, and and they were talking about the manning. They were talking about we have 4,000 student Marines who come through our schoolhouse every year, and they were saying the instructors are overworked. We need more instructors. We need more instructors, because not only do we have to do physical training with these young Marines in the morning, they have to teach them. They're responsible for the curriculum, for the instructions, for the class. Then not only that, at nighttime they have to often go to the dorms, the barracks, because the Marines get in trouble, and they have to go and deal with those things from sun up to sundown. It's very demanding. They need more help. And the CEO was saying, "Well, I'm going to talk to command. See if we can get more instructors here." And he's always talking to the instructors. "I know you're overworked. I know you're overtasked. I know. I understand. I'm working as hard as I can to get more help." And in Christ's organization, Christ says that's the problem. There's a lot of work to do. A lot of souls to harvest. We need godly men to be in the vineyard. There are a lot of churches today in the South. They call it the Bible Belt. There's a church on every corner. But there's not many godly preachers who have a thirst for souls, for thirst of caring for souls, and so on. You know, being in the chaplaincy for 12, 13 years, I've dealt with so many different denominations. And normally, generally speaking, I've had many people come up to me and says, oh, I feel God is calling me to be a pastor. So really tell me about that. Well, I just feel this need, this urge to get out there and to preach. I've accepted the call, or a preacher will stand there and preach and say, if you feel God is calling you to the ministry, stand up. And 20 people stand up. Hallelujah. 20 people are now accepted the call to be a minister. But that's not God's way of calling people to ministry. You know, these same ministers who stand up and call, you know, there's the big problem in ministry today is that ministers are quitting at an alarming rate. They're quitting. They say, hey, I can't. It's too much. The demands of the people are too much. I'm tired of being criticized. I'm tired of being wounded. I'm tired of my family having to deal with this stuff. I'm tired. I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm going to get a job at Home Depot or whatever, anywhere. But the ministry, even in the chaplaincy, we hear chaplains coming in and say, well, why did you become a chaplain? Hey, I had to get away from the local church. It was too much. Those people were too demanding. I couldn't do anything right. There are always criticisms. There are always problems. There was difficulties, the counseling, all of these things. And it was a thankless job, and no one really appreciated or cared about me. So they come in the chaplaincy. They say, well, you know, I just want to just be with the Marines or be with the sailors. Let me just be with them, and I'll maybe have a little Bible study and just talk to them and so on. But I don't want to be at the chapel. I don't want to do a service. I don't want to do anything regarding ministry. Well, that's not what Christ teaches us. Christ says, yes, if you're working in the vineyard. And my dad was a farmer. He grew up a farmer. And he used to have me in the garden. He used to hate it. Every March, April, up in Maryland, he had this big garden. And I wanted to be out with my friends. I was in that garden. It was hard work. It was not easy work. It was backbreaking work. It was labor-intensive work. And so is the ministry. So is dealing with people. Dealing with souls is hard work. That's why it's the laborers in the vineyard. And that's what Christ teaches us. That we need more laborers, more people committed, more people who are determined, more people who are ready, who are willing to labor for souls and to win souls for Christ. I remember in seminary, one of the things that the professors used to talk about as a problem is that our younger, gifted people, especially academically and who have a high degree of intelligence, they were bemoaning the fact that a lot of these people, a lot of these are our young covenant children weren't even considered in the ministry. They wanted to be lawyers and doctors and engineers and scientists and those types of things. And they used to say, why not consider the ministry? Why not consider it? It's almost like, well, the ministry, if you want to do it, just get up and do it. Doesn't require, just have your Bible, be able to do some, know the Bible and talk about Jesus and become a minister. I often ask this question. I said, so if you had to go to the doctors and you got to where I'm going. If you had to go to the doctors and this doctor has to do some surgery on you. He says, you know, I don't have any training or education, but God called me to be a doctor. And I'm just, you know, and I got this manual and I got Google and I can do it because I know the Lord is with me. Would you let that person operate on you or your children? Probably not. Why is it in the ministry that is acceptable for people to deal with our eternal and immortal souls? And my son is gifted academically, very intelligent, always shows a high aptitude. He, I don't know where he got it from. He didn't get it from me, but I said, you know, he works at my chapel. He does multimedia stuff. He does a lot of great things. I said, you think one day you can You can see yourself, you know, maybe getting in ministry. Oh, no, Dad, absolutely not. He wants to be a pilot, which is great. But that was like, no way I want to be that. But isn't that the way we feel often when it comes to ministry? Which leads to my last point is, what is the key to getting laborers in the vineyard? Jesus says, prayer. Pray, he says in verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray. That's the key. Why do we have to pray? To realize that God is the Lord of the harvest, that this is God's kingdom, and that we are praying that God would send out laborers into the harvest. That word send out there means to thrust out, push out. I was watching a baseball game maybe a couple years ago, and the guy hit like 3 home runs. And the fans stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And they wanted the player to come back out into the field to acknowledge. And the player didn't want to come out there. And a couple of his teammates dragged him out and pushed him out so that he would give so that he could acknowledge the standing ovation. That's something what God does to us. He pushes us out. He drags us out, so to speak. He thrusts us out into the vineyard. Now think of Tony Curto. I don't know if you know him. He's my missionary evangelism professor at Greenville. The last year, he was telling about how he went to Uganda, how the presbytery called him to go to Uganda. Now you think about being a missionary. Here you are in this great country of ours with all the freedoms that we enjoy, the security. We got nice houses and we have a comfortable life and we live in a nice area and so on. And God says, I want you to go overseas and be a missionary. And what's our first reaction? No way. Not doing that, Lord. And God begins to deal with us. And we have arguments and we have reasons why we keep trying to shut God off. And say, no, I'm not going to do it. But God continues to work on us, sends us until he finally thrusts us out. We're holding on to like the wall. We're trying to hold on. And he says, no, go. And that's how many of us come into the ministry. God has to force us out, thrust us out, push us out into the vineyard. And that's why prayer is so important. How often do we pray? How often do we pray that God would send out laborers in the vineyard? How often do we pray that God would send out many to preach the word? Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? The ordinary way that people become saved is what? It's through the preaching of the word. And we need faithful preachers to preach the word. Therefore, we need to pray that God would send out laborers all over the world, not just here at Harvest, but all over. That we would pray that God would send out missionaries, that God would send out preachers and teachers, as Pastor Mark was just talking about, the ordination that took place in Yuma. You know, men coming under care, that's blessings. We need to pray that God would send more into the vineyard. And that God would send them like he did Moses, where we have every argument. The reason why we cannot do it, but God takes away those arguments. Therefore, we need to pray that the Lord would send out laborers into his harvest. That's what we need to pray. That's why prayer is so important. You know, all the time in the military, we talk about headquarters, let's go to command, let's go to headquarters. We need to tell them this, we need more money, we need more people, more manning, more personnel, and so on. Well, the same, the church militant, we need to go to our Lord with prayer all the time, that God would send godly ministers, the next generation of preachers and pastors, that he would be working and developing and getting them ready to go work in the vineyard. Matthew Henry says that when the Lord puts that spirit on us to pray, it often means that he has people he's going to send into the harvest. So we need to send out laborers into his harvest. We got prayer. You know what? You say, well, why should we pray? We're Calvinists. We believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe in election. God's going to save who he wants to save anyway. But God is a God of means. He uses means. We don't say that if we're sick. We don't say that if we need a job. We don't say that if we're waiting on a test from the doctor, what's the diagnosis. We call everybody, pray for me. Pray that this goes well. Pray that it goes this way and so on. Pray that God would heal and so on. And so we need to do the same. A couple of applications, and then I will close. The first application is this, is that consider that Jesus has had compassion on you. Because you are here this morning, and every Sunday you get the opportunity to hear the word of God preached. Think about it, young people. You are blessed if you're in a covenant home. There are a lot of people who do not have the blessings that you have, who do not have. You have the opportunity to hear the word, to receive the word twice on Sundays and during the week and so on. You have a pastor who cares for your souls, prays for your souls. You have a session that loves you. What a blessing. Do not neglect that blessing. God has placed you here. But make sure you're using your blessing. Because God wants to know, what is the return on my investment? You know, the military, they're always cutting back, slashing. Do we need this? Do we need that? The Lord does the same thing in a sense. Because in the gospel, the Lord says he looks in his vineyard. Is there fruit on this vine? All this preaching that this person's received, all of the teaching, all of this stuff, is there fruit? Because God says that sometimes he'll say, cut it down. Because I could put someone else there. So make sure you're being fruitful. Have you received the Lord? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you repented of your sins? Has this preaching enabled you and caused you to know that you are a Christian? How terrible it would be for you to hear all this preaching and all this teaching, the wasting on the last day. You hear that, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you will be judged for the amount of knowledge that you've heard. But the second thing is this, is that while these verses are talking about ministers and laborers and those who need to be trained for ministry, we all can do something for the Lord. Are you in the vineyard? Are you working in the vineyard? We can all do something for Jesus. We might not be pastors, elders, or deacons, whatever the case may be, but God has called us to say something for our Savior. Think about the people we come across, our barbers, our hairstylists, people we work with, our neighbors, people at our shops and so on. All of the people that we influence, all the people that we come across, do we say things for Jesus? Yes, we could talk all day about the games, about whatever the case, politics, whatever, babies, children, grandchildren, so on. But do we ever get around to saying something on behalf of our Lord? Do we invite people to come to harvest, to hear the word of God, our neighbors to hear? We all can say, do something for the Lord. God has called us. He's given us talents and so on. And if anything, we are salt of the earth and light of the world. I was talking to a former chaplain supervisor, and he went on a deployment. He was really discouraged because he went with a bunch of pilots, and he was wondering why he was there, because no one was coming to church, no one was coming to Bible study, no one was coming to counseling. He said it was miserable. He was like, why should I be here? Why did they send me here? This is ridiculous. And so he was saying one night he was in his room, he's watching television, and he says, I'll just go down to the lobby and just read the newspaper. He said, because after all, maybe anything than being in this room looking at television. So he read the newspaper for an hour. And after he finished, he went upstairs, went to bed. He got up the next morning, got ready for breakfast. And he says, this officer, the senior officer, comes running to him, says, Chaps, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. He says, I want to thank you. He said, thank me for what? He said, no, last night I got dressed. I was going across the street there to pick up a prostitute. He says, but when I saw you sitting in that lobby. He says, I got so convicted and over feelings of guilt overwhelmed that I ran back up into my room. He says, you saved me. And he was just amazed of what God can do. And who knows what you could do? Who knows why you are where you are? Your presence says a lot. Maybe it's your job. You don't like your job. You wonder, I want another job. I don't like it here. But maybe God has you there for a reason. You know, as a chaplain, many times I go around visiting people. I go into their offices, and most of the time they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be bothered. They have to be nice to me because I outrank most of them. So they, hey, chaps, what's going on? How you doing? How can I help you? Oh, I just came by to see how you're doing. I don't say very much. Every now and then, I run across people who are very friendly, but I just do those visitings, and I come and I leave. But I notice that when trouble comes, that's when they find me. Chaps, I need to talk to you. You know, I need some counsel. My wife's getting ready to leave me, or this is going on at my job, or this is going on with my kids, and so on. It's the same with you. Maybe people don't want anything to do with you. Oh, they find out you're one of those religious people. Oh, yeah, one of those holy rollers. Let me keep my distance from you. However, when trouble comes, they often find you. Because when you live for Christ, when you stand for Christ, people take notice of that. And next thing you know, they're coming to you. They're unloading all their problems. You're like, why are they telling me all this stuff? Here's the reason why. Because they've watched you. They've looked at you. And God has sent them to you. So God has called all of us to be laborers in the vineyard. And as the last hymn we sang, it's beautiful. Is that we know that the victory is in Christ, that our labor is not in vain, that all we do, we are working for the cause of Christ. Christ has died. He has risen again. He is at his right hand, at the Father's right hand. He is gathering his elect. The work will not be stopped. Satan's kingdom is plundered. Let us remember that we're on the winning side. A military, one day, who knows what can happen. God raises up kings, put down kings. Maybe one day our military will be defeated. But this we can rest assured that Christ will never be defeated. Christ is the victor. Christ has accomplished it. And because of that, that should encourage us and motivate us to work even more in his vineyard with the short time that we have in this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder to work in the vineyard. Help us, Lord, to increase our efforts, to use our resources, to use our time to harvest souls for this vineyard. Lord, you have called us to this work, and Lord, it's hard and it's difficult, but give us the compassion and the love and the persistence to endure hardness like a good soldier. And so, Lord, we pray that you would send more laborers into the vineyard. And we also pray, Lord, that that at Harvest and all other churches, Lord, would use our time to work more on your behalf. Forgive us for the time we waste, for the resources we waste. Help us, Lord, to devote our time to doing the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.